959.
It's a party on the
weekend.
On the street, on the air.
We are everywhere. The best in African music, on the World Show with Nikki B.
Yes, I'm Nikki B and talk about the best in African music. Right now I am joined by a true African artist. Monet, welcome to the World Show.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
I'm so pleased you're here. Let me tell you, your new album is exceptional.
Thank you.
It's like every single song's a treasure. Takes me on a different journey, each one. But wow, you've been through quite a year,
yes,
I think,
yes,
since your last album.
Yes,
yes. Yes. Tell us a little bit about what's inspired and impacted on you through the course of this year, Monet.
I think, well, with my last project, it was more very personal.
Yes.
Digging deep, more self-forgiveness. But I've also just been thinking now about themes of identity, what it means to be a Venda person. And the more I inquired on that, I think what kept coming up was, you know, the idea of the Bantustans and this nostalgia around it. So I decided to do a little bit more digging around that, and I landed up with Shumela Venda.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful album. And, you know, as I was listening to it, I was thinking about you and how there is very, very little Venda music that comes to the fore.
Yes.
And it's so deeply spiritual. Mm-hmm. Is this, you know, from what I know, you got it from the source, if I can say, your musicality?
Yes, it feels like that. I think a lot of it just feels like it's always been there. It's just been waiting for someone to then get it out to the world.
Yes.
And I'm happy to be the person to do so.
Yes, you know. Beautiful. In fact, what also came to me with this album is Monet. You know, I've loved every single album and song and everything.
Yes.
But this one, I felt like Monet's coming to his own.
Yes, I think this is the most me album or me project. With the first one, I was sort of like dedicating it to my grandmother, so it was more around how I feel about her, even sonically.
Yes.
With the second project, it was dedicated to people I liked. The third one, like I said, it was more self-forgiveness. And I think with this one, I'm exploring what it means to be me and also what my interests are and what I'm exploring right now as Monet, which I've never done before. And it's more exciting even for me, because it's not for anyone. It's my interest. I feel like I'm the most excited I've ever been.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm very excited as well. I promise you.
That's exciting.
But last year, you won the Standard Bank Young Artist Award for Music.
Yes.
How has that impacted? Is this album a result of that?
Yes.
And what was your experience as the young artist over the course of last year and this year?
Funny enough, it took a while for me to actually realize that I was award-winning. I think only now when we were putting out the press release and it said, Monet, award-winning artist, I was like, oh, that actually happened a year
now.
Now I can use that, but I hadn't been using it the entire time. But, you know, it's such a lovely accolade to have. It's a nice way of being celebrated as a maker of things, especially in the sort of the niche spaces which aren't so mainstream or popular music. To be recognized and celebrated, firstly, is amazing, but also the program itself, it's so amazing in terms of how you're plugged into all of these amazing spaces like the National Arts Festival, Joy of Jazz, but also you become part of a group of really wonderful musicians.
Yes, and I mean, if you look at the history of the award winners,
yes,
it's the best of the best
really
of the best.
It really is the best. Lipizoma Katini, Tani Tuli, Zoe Mutiha, Msaki.
Yes.
It's just all of these amazing people, and it's really been amazing. And yes, this project is a product of that. So part of the obligations is, you know, they sort of like give you a fund to put out a project, which is really great, especially for me as an independent artist.
Absolutely.
You know, to be able to fund a project, and this is a result of that between me and Standard Bank. Yeah.
And I have to give them a plug, as I always do.
Yes.
Those awards are for me one of the finest awards I've ever come across.
Absolutely.
Not only do they choose people for excellence,
yes,
like yourself, but also because there is that support
over the next year.
For the year that you're
a whole year and beyond.
Yes.
You know,
Bokani Dai is another one who comes to mind.
Absolutely.
Yes. Spongile Kumalo.
Yes. All of my legends, all of the people I've looked up to, the people who've paved the way for me, are part of that, and it's an honor to also have your name there. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's hear a track off this beautiful album. I'm going to save the title track for next, but this one, Just each and every one of them, Monet, they're such treasures. But this one is Nwananga.
Yes.
Did I say it right?
Yes, Nwananga.
Good. What is it about?
Nwananga is firstly the first song, which is the second track on the album. And it speaks about the idea of a parent realizing too late that their child is hurting. You know, it speaks directly to abuse. Particularly gender-based violence and also the abuse of children in a household. And in the story of the song, it's a parent realizing late after the child has sort of taken their own life, and the parent is saying, rest my child, rest and sleep. And really it's just urging, you know, parents and caregivers to always just remain alert and to listen to their children when they tell them that, you know, someone is doing them wrong. And I wanted to start there because as a young person living in South Africa, that's my reality. Before I could go into my story, that was the course that really spoke to me.
Yes.
So that's, yeah. And it's produced by a wonderful friend of mine called Tato Mudika. And I feature Umzulu Paka, who's also an amazing, amazing musician.
Beautiful. I'm speaking to Monet. This one, Nwananga, of Monet's exceptional new album, Shumela Venda, on The World Show.
Songs of healing and inspiration on The World Show with Nikki B.
Clap. How absolutely amazing. Monet is the artist with me, and that track is off his new album, Shumela Venda Nwananga. There we go. Yeah. But Monet, you know, for me, besides your exceptional voice, which when I first saw you just captured me from the minute I saw you on stage, I was like, who is this man? Yeah. But besides that, I think storytelling is such an important part of your work.
Yes, absolutely.
Where do you get your inspiration? Do the words come before the music, or both, or how?
I think it's just a culture that my grandmother fostered. She's an amazing storyteller. Whether she's narrating a story about her childhood or reciting one of the folk tales. She's just an amazing storyteller, but I think then that fostered my way of telling stories. And the story always comes first, I think, for me. But it depends. Sometimes it's inspired by the music that I'm hearing, particularly in this project where I collaborated with Tendai, because I didn't write, I didn't compose most of the music. I wrote the words, though. But when I'm writing alone, it's the words first, or a feeling in my body that, you know, when I pick up the guitar or I play on the piano, then it lands a particular way. Then I know that this feeling requires this type of language or this type of humming. But yeah, it's always the words. It's always the words linked to a theme and a greater feeling.
Yes. Yeah. You, I think with all your albums, but once again, it struck me with this one, there's a level of vulnerability that must be quite, what's the word I want to use? Almost like scary, or to go to that place of vulnerability, mm-hmm. to allow yourself to express that to mm-hmm. the world. What does that take from you?
It feels like you're leaving yourself bare in front of the world. But I think, not even think, I've learned over time that being vulnerable is a human thing. And I think in the world that we live in, with ways of doing things and etiquette, don't do this, don't do that, I think it takes that away. But it's something that we yearn for. I think in order for people to connect, there has to be a vulnerable moment. You know, whether it's in humor or in pain, in joy and sadness, I think vulnerability brings that connection. And having done this for a while, I've stopped being scared of the vulnerability. Actually lean in.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just become easier to lean into that vulnerability, to tell the story, because then it also feels irresponsible to just want to tell a story that's not real. And I'm quite a gentle...
No, you're authentic as well. Yeah, yes.
And even in my friendships, in my way of living every day, I'm this gentle, vulnerable, open being.
Yes.
And it would be such an injustice to hold that back when I have to share something that's actually going to live forever. Like when I'm not here, the music will be there. It just comes natural to me.
Yes, and that sense of vulnerability, I think, allows almost people to connect with their own vulnerability. True. In exchange. And as you use the word connectiveness, mm-hmm. kind of reminds others, mm. when one can be vulnerable, it reminds, yes. others that, oh, I'm not alone in this, yeah. life thing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's the most human thing also. I think it just brings us back to humanness. I can even think of a moment a few weeks ago when the album came out, I was playing a gig elsewhere and I was having some technical issues, and I thought I could either just pretend it's not happening, or I could just share that, guys, we're all trying to figure this out, maybe let's just hum a little melody so I can calm down, because I'm feeling quite stressed. And everyone just hummed with me while the technical people worked it out, and it worked out better than me trying to pretend like I'm, yes. having the time of my life on stage when the technical stuff is going wrong. So it's in the serious moments, it's in the gentle moments, but I think if we were more vulnerable as people in the world, it would be a better place. We would see each other more.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And now, Shumela Venda, did you know the title when you started? Did it arise? How long did it take? What was it like in studio?
Shumela Venda. Funny, I had a moment with someone I cared for, a neighbor of mine, and I went to the gym and I couldn't shake off this thing that had happened. And then afterwards I called a friend of mine, his name is Shinoa Nokedi, and I said, hey, are you at home? He's a musician. I got there and he was working on some music, and I just wanted to decompress, and we made a song, and one of the songs, yes. on the project, and we actually titled that Shumela Venda. But at the same time, Tendai and I had planned to write music together, and when he came through and we started writing, I couldn't shake this theme off. I was like, I'm so stuck on this, yes. Venda stuff, and I've been researching, I've been finding a lot of information about it, but with the particular song, it was when Tendai and I were writing, and I was like, I know I had named the other song Shumela Venda, but this is the song where I keep singing Shumela Venda over again.
The first song you'd named Shumela Venda, yeah. wasn't the one that is now.
No, it was actually Busani.
Okay, yeah, amazing.
It,
yes,
because I had thought it was just going to be one song that we make.
Yes,
But like as we wrote more and more songs, Tendai and I was like, this is the Shimon Avenda song. Mm. And even the words that were coming to me were more directly telling the story of Shimon Avenda. And yeah, and we started playing it before we even recorded, and it was more rocky than it
yes,
is.
Yes, it's still got a little element.
Not funk. Some bluesy funk. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's just been exciting to just land on that moment. And the thing with music is you never know where you're going to end up, because you can't predict these things, especially myself. I don't write from a formulaic perspective. I'm just writing and feeling the music. And when we landed on this repetitive Shimon Avenda, I was just like, oh my God, I might have just written an anthem.
And the meaning?
The meaning, funny, it's the old Republic of Venda Bantustan slogan.
So oh, really?
Republic of Venda, oh, Shumera really? Venda.
Yes.
Which means we strive for Venda, we work for Venda. And it's a sentiment that a lot of people from where I'm from Twendo, from Venda really, really hold. They believe in Shumering Venda. You know?
Yes.
And it shows up more in the ways in which they live their lives. They'll actually work in the city and then they'll go build back home.
Yes.
They won't really invest in the city. And it's an interesting concept when you dig deeper. But ultimately, we all just want to work for our homeland.
Yes, absolutely. And you made reference to, you know, the slogan that was used in those times.
Yes.
And again, the album is imbued with, can I say, activism?
Absolutely.
As much as it is Monet's usual love spirit, all of that, it also has, but I think we'll get to that a little bit later.
Absolutely.
For now, let's hear the title track, Shumela Venda. And Monet, I agree, it's a perfect name for the track, which obviously took over the other track.
Yes, yes.
And for the whole project.
Yeah.
Monet with us on The World Show.
Sounds to uplift. Sounds to uplift and inspire on The World Show with Nikki B.
Your weekend home
for rhythm and beat.
Our weekend. This is Kaya 959.
Kaya 9. Now I've got to give that one a clap. 959. The title track of Monet's album, Shumela Venda. You spoke about somebody who produced a song. Mm-hmm. Did you have different producers? What was that process like?
So the first, the song that sort of started the whole thing was a song I made with Chinua Nokedi, who is a friend of mine. He's also an artist, and he goes by the name Crunchy Sweater when he's performing.
Okay.
But as a producer, he's just Chinua Nokedi. And we made Bushani together early in...
The one you thought was going to be
Shumela Venda.
Yes.
And then myself and Tendai Shoko, who also produced most of Sankofa by Tandiswa Mazwa.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we had scheduled some writing sessions together. We'd been saying, oh, we need to write together. Then we started writing, and then we ended up writing the bulk of the project.
Oh,
together.
Really?
And we ended up producing the entire record. But then Wananga, the one we played before this, I made it a songwriting camp with some friends. So Tato Mudika was there, who's also a friend of mine, and Umzulu Paka as well. But I wrote the song also with Kozo Zwane, who's like a long-time collaborator, and Mandilake Ikaya, who's also another friend of mine. It was just a whole bunch of friends in the room who wrote.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, so it was three producers.
Yes.
Now,
on that note as well, there is, I mean, if I think about it, with June the 16th being this week, and there's a level of activism, you've included some stuff we might not be able to play, but even on this track, we hear the beginning.
Yes.
Where did you source these commentaries?
So these are like some old archival stuff, like old stuff from the protests. So the what you hear from Shumela Venda in the beginning and also towards the end is a protest when General Ramoshoana, who's also like such a big influence and inspiration for me for this project.
Oh, yes.
He was a general in the army, in the Venda Defense Force.
Yes.
Back in the 80s.
I didn't even know that there was a specific Venda Defense Force.
It was a whole republic with its own prime minister, cabinet, this guy decided he was unhappy with the way things were going in government, and he took over the government. And people took to the streets. You know, he wasn't quite popular. I think some people thought, oh yeah, we could have this guy. And most people were like, we're not so sure about this guy who's decided he's now our new leader. And part of it is, towards the end, it's him being sworn in.
Oh,
so he's
yes.
saying, I, General Ramoshoana.
Oh, okay, I couldn't quite hear it,
Yeah, and then in the middle, I just keep repeating Shumela Venda. And then in the end, it says, so help me God.
Yes.
So it's him being sworn in. And which is such a big part of the story I'm telling, because in the visual world of the story, or rather when I perform, I take on the persona of General Ramoshoana, you know, because he sort of represents the savior of the Venda people. Who
the
never,
freedom fighter.
The freedom fighter within the system, who never really got to live out his full tenure, because then the republic was then absorbed back into the Republic of South Africa.
Yes.
And he's a story of potential. You know, we think of Steve Biko, and we think of how people feel about his potential to have led this country had he still been alive.
Yes.
And for me, Ramoshoana represents that in a way.
Yes.
You know, only that, like, he passed, I mean, not so long ago, but he didn't get to really rule as long as he probably would have wanted to.
Yes, yeah. Beautiful. But again, that makes reference to your heritage.
Yes.
And to the people of Venda as a whole. Yes. And I think the region, it's such a special place, Venda.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've been fortunate to go there a couple of times, and it really has its own depth of spirituality.
Yes. Yes.
Which I imagine is where your source once again is.
Absolutely. It really is. And I think for me, another big thing is wanting the stories of Tepa Venda people to be mainstream.
Yes.
You know, to be told on Kaya 959.
Yes.
To be on the newspapers, and to not just be sidelined, because as time goes, you know, there's less and less about that history. And I think all history is important, and all history should remain relevant, and we should all know our stories and where we come from.
And we should be the ones telling our own stories, absolutely. As you, and not leaving it to others.
Yes, we tell them correctly.
Yes. But Venda, let's go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to you in a short way? But what does it mean to you being Venda? What is Venda, the country, the culture? Mm. What does it mean to you, for you?
I think for me, it's interesting because I never got to live in the country per se, because, you know, the country then ended up being, you know, formed in, I guess, officially formed on the 13th of September 1979, all the way to the late 80s, and I was born 1995, way later. But for me, Venda firstly is a home, firstly as like a geographical home, and secondly also as the home where my value systems were formed. And all I know about being a human was formed in Venda. And like, even though I've lived in the city for the past 11 years, I'm still referencing the idea of being a Muvenda. And what does it mean from a morality point of view? But also, it's also heartbreaking in a way, you know, being part of a minority group of people with such little representation.
And such a rich heritage.
Yes, rich heritage. Even pre-Bantustan, pre-apartheid. Yes. If you think of the relationship between Mapungubwe and the great Zimbabwe, all of this rich heritage that, you know, I don't know much of fully, but I know exists in a particular way, but it also like isn't part of like our full story to tell. I find that heartbreaking. I think there's so much that Limpopo as a province has to offer, but there's also so much that, you know, the place previously known as Venda like also has to offer, the people, the culture, the food, and especially now like with the xenophobic narrative that's going around. And I always say to people that not to take away from the experience of the foreign nationals that are being persecuted for seeking refuge or, you know, for existing. But I could say, you know, I grew up with more proximity to Zimbabwean people than I did to the rest of South Africa.
Mm.
You know, growing up, there was a young man called Godfrey who was Zimbabwean who lived with us at home. The people whom my grandmother hang out with every day now are Zimbabwean ladies. They help her out at home. They have friends. So it's also just this idea of having felt othered for so long and wanting my small, small contributions to be a part of the integration to the greater world. And for a child that was born in 2026, 5 years from now, to then open their music player or to listen on Kai and then hear Monet and think, oh, I'm represented.
Yes.
That's what it means to me.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And you're so right about what's going on in this country with the xenophobia and pushing people out, because who next?
Yes.
As you say, okay, get rid of all the so-called foreigners, and then who's next?
Once we've established that culture of sidelining each other.
Exactly. But let's hear this one, and this is one of your choices. Yes. Well, I could choose every song. Yeah. Rotangiwa.
Yes. Rotangiwa, I think for me, answers Shumela Venda. So Rotangiwa takes place inside the room when the coup is happening.
Okay.
So for me, Rotangiwa means we're surrounded. You know, the full cross is we're surrounded by enemies. And I can imagine the government that's leading, when someone else comes to say, I'm unhappy with you, I'm taking over, when the army is arriving in their whatever vehicle they're in and saying we're here to take over the government. So for me, I was writing it from that perspective, even though I was not there.
Yes.
I was trying to imagine what it must have been inside. You know, it opens by saying, we're waiting for the government from Ramshwana. Funny, because Ramshwana is actually the person coming to take over this government. But then in the second verse, I then make it more current, and I speak about our current leaders. You know, we still have a king in Venda that's been contested. That's a whole other dangerous story to tell.
Yes. That's a whole show on itself.
I want to make it home after this show. But then I speak about VBS, you know, and how a lot of that was part of Venda pride.
Yes.
You know, to have our own bank.
Yes.
And that meant a lot to us. And to have some greedy people just steal and not have that anymore. So I speak about that and I say, you know, the greed has gotten so bad that they'll even steal from grannies, you know, because a lot of grannies had put their money
their savings
there.
Yeah,
so for me Rotangiwa is about being surrounded by enemies, but then the enemy being a metaphor for
so much of what's going
on, so much
on.
what happened then for so much what's happening now, and also maybe what will happen in the future. But for us who always remain alert, that like the same way Ramoshoana was marching in and charging in as a revolutionary, the people leading now must not think they're untouchable.
Yes,
the people will always take back their power. And for me, it's a song about reclamation.
Absolutely beautiful. And I did pick up the sense of urgency in this song as well. So it's so interesting always to hear the meaning behind it. I am speaking to Monet, his new album, Shumela Venda. It's exceptional. You got to go and listen and buy the whole album. This one is Rotangiwa, coming up on The World Show.
Kaya 959's app.
Makes your phone play rhythm and beats. The best in African music on The World Show with Nikki B.
Yes, Rotangiwa, the album Shumela Venda. And we've also got to give it a clap. There is, as I said, it's that I love it when the song evoked that emotion, which I only find out later what the message was intended to be. Mm-hmm. That is really, you know, form and content coming together. I've got a beautiful message here from the waiter on X. He says, beautiful music, great memories of the late military leader, Brigadier Gabriel Ramoshwana. Oh, so there wow. we go. You see, it's working, Monet.
It really is.
Yes, absolutely working. Beautiful. So performing, I mean, you've been having quite a few gigs, mm-hmm, as you mm-hmm. said last year. I think you're even crossing the borders yes, more yes. and more these days. Yes. What has that experience been like for you as an evolution?
It's been really lovely. It's been interesting also watching how the music translates in other places, especially because as South Africans consume music a very like particular way. Yes. There's always a, we know what this is. We can relate to it, that music for us is like our own inside language, you know. Yes. There's always certain subtext that we all get, and I guess when you go outside you lose all of that completely.
Yes.
People are curious, they want to know what story you're telling, but you don't really have the advantage of we have pretext.
Yes.
You know, context. So it's been very lovely. I just got back from Ioma. I was showcasing yes. at Ioma.
And it's always so nice to be.
It's always so nice. The weather's great. The food yes. is great. The people are great. And it was just really lovely watching people also feel the same sentiment of revolutionary music that speaks of like a particular time, because I think as Africans, whether you're on an island or any part of Africa, you sort of understand what it's like
absolutely
to sing like uprising music. So yes. that's been really, really great.
Beautiful. Yeah. So if you didn't know, IOMA is a conference, a music conference that takes place in Reunion Island just before the Sakifo Festival, which I'm sure you stayed a bit and watched a bit. Yes. But you've got something special coming up.
Yes, Monet. I do. On the 20th of June, which is this coming Saturday,
yes.
I am doing the official Shumela Venda launch, album launch. It's a partnership between myself and the University of Johannesburg, which is where like I was horned as a as an artist. I did all yes. sorts of things when I was in university, and also again with the support of SBYA through Standard Bank. So I'll be doing a 90-minute show. No opening acts, no closing acts. Yes. Just me.
Beautiful.
I don't think I've ever played for that long in Johannesburg.
Yes.
And yeah, I really want everyone to come through. It's like a late.
So where is it?
It's at the. I must say it properly. Khosetsile Kurapetsi Theatre, which is at the University of Johannesburg in yes. Auckland Park.
In Auckland
yeah,
Park,
yeah, they have
yes.
a beautiful theatre. I know people don't want to stand at these gigs anymore. They want to sit. So
yes,
it's a
especially with
show.
The intimacy of your music.
Absolutely.
People can always get up and dance
get
to
up and dance?
Shumela Venda, that's for sure.
Yes, yes. But most of it will be seated. And you can just really enjoy. It's going to be a lovely, lovely, lovely show. And tickets are available. Please buy tickets.
Where are tickets available?
Tickets are available on Quicket.
Yes.
So you can get Quicket, go to Quicket and search Shumela Venda. Alternatively, you can just go on my socials. That's Muney, Muneyi. And then you click on the little link in my bio, and then it'll show you multiple links, and just click on the Shumela Venda album launch and get your ticket. The early bird is still available,
yes.
I believe. And yeah, there's multiple tiers if you want to sit up in the gallery, or
you want to be right in front.
You want to be right in front, yes. singing along.
Yes. Yeah. So it's this coming Saturday.
This coming Saturday.
At the University of Johannesburg, mm-hmm. at the
Khosetsile Kurapetsi Theatre.
Thank you so much. And what time does it start, Mune?
It starts at 6. So,
so it's an early thing.
It's an early thing because it's a yes, Saturday. Yes. It's winter as well.
Yes.
There's no need for us to start late. I want people to have their early Saturday, go to the market, go do some grocery yes. shopping and all of that. And then doors open at 5. You can arrive from 5 p.m. There'll be a bar. You can get some drinks. And then 6 p.m. on the dot. I'm quite pedantic with time.
Yes.
I'm 6 p.m. we start, and by 7:30 we should be finished.
Beautiful. I urge everyone to go. The first time I met Monet, it was when I saw him on stage, and let me tell you, you won't be disappointed at all. That's for sure. So let's play another track. Mm-hmm. I just lost my place here. This one, Ida Itanazwayo.
Yes.
Itanazwayo.
Itanazwayo actually answers the first single, Karangwa, where I featured Nduduzo Makatini.
Yes.
And that song speaks about seasons. It's called Karangwa. Karangwa means seasons. But Itanazwayo translates to it comes with its own. So it's saying every season comes with its own thing. And in this particular one, I speak about every season and what happens in that season. In Karangwa, I'm speaking about the seasons of life.
Okay.
The difficulty, sometimes winter feels long in your life, even if
yes,
it's not particularly the season of winter.
Yes.
But in Itanazwayo, I'm actually talking about the seasons themselves. And I think, for me, it's part of my let's remind each other what things are called in our home languages, yes, sort of thing. But also, it's more about my childhood memories. So I speak about how in summer I used to go swim in the river. That's where I learned how to swim, by the way.
Yes.
And I'd come back with pale feet and red eyes, and it would be so obvious that I was swimming.
Yes.
And we'd take little tubs of Vaseline with us and to try hide the fact that we were swimming. And I speak about how in autumn, the kids don't want to be near their mothers because there's such plenty harvest.
Yes.
You know, they just want to eat the pumpkins, everything that's there. And in winter, we all sit in the outside kitchen where there's a fire with our granny reciting stories and legends and folk tales until we're too scared to go to sleep. And when I was growing up, also, there was no electricity at home. So after listening to those stories, it was scary to go indoors. And I speak about how in springtime, then you see the flowers bloom and you know that the fruit is coming soon, and in summer you get to enjoy the fruit. I would go up the mountains to find wild berries and other wild fruit, and for me it's just a way of just thinking of my childhood, even though it was not in the Republic of Venda, but it was still in Venda. And a lot of that is changing. I think, you know, we get our fruit from the supermarket, but yes, when I go home, I love that the trees in the yard are fruit trees, and it's just that anchor, that anchoring memory for me.
What it makes me think of, representing Venda as an artist, there has to be at least one song that connects with the earth.
Absolutely.
Because that's just such a vital part,
yes,
of the Venda, of Venda, mm-hmm, and the Venda experience. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Monet, and we are celebrating his new album, Shumela Venda, Itanazwayo.
Yes.
I'm going to try and say it again. An absolutely beautiful song coming up on The World Show.
Sounds to uplift. Sounds to uplift and inspire on The World Show with Nikki B.
Chirimuri arapamera minamboni richishaba mupiso ravoya mirenje opaunu aimi chena chena matoma tsuku tsuku rala micheno yataka rala nambero zataka rala mango rafaru angadangani Karangwa zone atifa Orea rijana chitangane ratichelesa dzingano na zvidade makono vachiria nechera Raedera rodarwa nganyoko ngadzingano dzirishushetsao aya O Karangwa atifa Chipeponi chamaranga, vana valamba bombe, bombe, bombe. Vana vala michero, vana vala mafuri, vana vala chikoni. Lutafura lutana upupuma, miria michero, riash diva uri michero indirani. Furanza utoma zindirani. Chorimua, Karangwa Tifani, Ingwe na Ingwe, Itanazwayo, Itanazwayo, Karangwa Tifani, Ulira na Usea, Ubeba na Ubulungwa, Uchira. Karangwa Tifani.
beautiful, beautiful Idana Zwayo off Monet's album Shomela Venda. And of course, we are exploring the album with the man himself. Absolutely beautiful album. I mean, Monet, the way that your voice has grown over the last few years, the range you get, you've always had that emotionality, but it's on another level. Absolutely beautiful, really, really exceptional. Do you feel more confident with your evolution?
I do certainly feel more confident. I also think it's the growth of the voice is not just the physical voice.
Yes.
I think also it's the thematic part of it, you know, what I'm talking about. I think this particular project has asked a different voice from me.
Mm.
I think with previous projects, like, for example, There's a Burning Sensation Where My Heart Used to Be, because I was so inside my head and really deeply thinking about my own forgiveness of the self and those around me, I was more tender. The voice was a gentle
yes.
one. I wasn't really shouting at myself or anyone. But with this, you know, I felt the need to charge, you know.
Yes.
I remember at some point, like, while recording in the studio, I had to take breaks. I was like, I've never had to sing so much and belt so much, maybe
yes.
since Makuru, and even then that was a different
it was a
feeling.
Yes.
And now I do feel grown. I'm grown in my way of thinking, and I'm more grown in my identity and understanding of my world around me, my immediate world, but also the entirety of my world since birth.
Yes. And I love the way that you keep referring the forgiveness, the self-forgiveness, because it's almost like this is also born out of that inner process.
True.
If you say, you know, the importance
yes.
that I think the message to everyone is take a moment sometimes to forgive oneself and see the liberation that comes thereafter. Now, there's a track that the minute I got this album, that was
yes.
the track I had to play. And then the next week, I opened the world show with this track. And I even tried to call Monet just before. And I was, what is this song about? And then I thought, doesn't matter. I love it anyway. But what is Nkweru Nkweru about?
Oh, funny. You tried to call me. And on Tuesday, I was doing a listening session.
Yes.
And like a track by track explaining. And I actually called my granny. And I was like, please tell everyone now what Nkweru Nkweru
means. Oh, so she told them.
Yes. So it's this thing that she used to sing for us growing up. My grandmother was quite nomadic while growing up. And I'm sort of the same, always moving around. And she speaks of this folk tale of this young lady who was told to not do any chores, and if she did any chores, the world or the room she was in would flood. It would be filled with water. So she's of age, and then she meets someone, and they you know, they plan to get married, and the family comes, and you know, she gets married, she goes to a marital home, and when she gets there, they say, oh, well, you can't just sit here and do nothing. You know, you at least do some chores, grind the corn. And she reminds them that I'm not allowed to do any of this. So she does so. And as she's doing so, it starts to flood. And she starts singing this. And it's sort of like my granny says it was her trying to be like, it's a call for help, wanting to be pulled out of this water. But in the world of Shomela Venda, it's also the only love song, only that it's about unrequited love.
Yes.
So the verses say, hey, what is your name? Actually, don't even tell me your name. What are your clan names? Venda is really small. I don't want us to be related.
Yes.
And then it goes on to say, take my hand, you know, I've decided that I love you and I want to be with you. And the response to that is this, which is sort of like a fantastical world.
Yes.
It's a world that doesn't exist. Like this person that's being asked for their hand in marriage or for to be courted in this love is just saying, this is a different world completely to me that I'm not interested in.
Yes.
And the second verse speaks about how this person is still persisting. They say, I don't want to hear that you have someone. Maybe
yes.
that's the reason you're turning me down. I don't want to hear that someone else says, you know, they call you these pet names, or that they have cows. Even I have my own cows that I can bring to your family right now to be with you. And again, and it's just the not hearing each other. And funny thing, The chorus is not in Tshivenda. It's in a different language. I initially thought it was in Xitsonga, but it turns out it's not. And my granny also just says, I don't know. She thinks maybe it's in Shangaan.
Oh, yes.
But I also have some Shangaan-speaking friends from Mozambique who are like, oh, these words sound familiar, but we don't know the entirety of it. But I also love that because for me, it's just a part of my memory and how my granny remembers it and how I remember it, even if it might not be entirely the actual words.
And that is the essence of what storytelling and folk songs should be about. We can evolve them through our own interpretations, if you like. I'm speaking to Monet on The World Show. His album Shumela Venda, as you hear, it's an absolute treat. And this next one is the track that first made me stand still, Nkweru.
Timeless South African treasures on The World Show with Nikki B.
Kaya 959. Too beautiful. Monet's and Kweru and Kweru. The album, Shumela Venda, and I got a message here from Joe Jackson, a freak. He says, please tell Monet, I love the new project, representing the Venda flag up high with lots of fire emojis.
Thank you, girl.
There you go. There you go.
It's been supporting yes. For years and years.
Yes. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful music. Monet, when listeners listen to the album, let me tell each and every one of you, I could have played every song on this album. So go get the album, because there's songs I wanted to play that we didn't have time for. But when people listen to this album, what would you say you wish they take away?
I hope they think of themselves as extremely powerful and as owners of their own story and as people who are telling a new story, and that they should not let current political issues really steer them away from the reality that the earth belongs to all of us. You know, governance exists to govern, not to rule over our everyday lives.
Yes.
That's it. I think it's reclamation, reclamation, reclamation.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Let's remind everyone, this coming Saturday, don't miss Monet. Yes. 90 minutes of Monet excellence. And it's happening at the University of Johannesburg, yes, of Joburg. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to say the theatre's name again.
Yes, at Khosetsi Lekurapetsi William Theatre at UJ Kingsway Campus. Tickets are available on Quicket.
And it's an early evening, 6 mm-hmm. p.m.
6 p.m. to 7:30. Get your tickets, come through.
Beautiful. We're going to end with the track called Pretoria. This one is quite militant.
Yes.
Tell us about this track.
Pretoria is about where it started. I think why we even call it Venda in the way that we call it. You know,
yes,
you know, the establishment of the Bantustan by Pretoria, which was, you know, our head,
yes,
the nationalist party then. And the song is just saying, but why? Why the segregation? Why all of this? You know, it's me now asking, like, why all of that? Even though the project itself is around, like, Bantustan nostalgia, I'm just saying, why? And the chorus says, Nerma Boso, we're the bosses. You know,
yes,
it's a thing we grew up, you know, chanting as little kids, I'm the boss, I'm the boss. And it's, again,
that's the reclamation.
Reclamation.
Yes.
And to say, even though that happened, and even though it seems like even the current leaders want to do that, the people will always rule.
Absolutely. Yeah. A beautiful song to end with. Absolutely. As we approach June the 16th, this coming Tuesday. And one more thing about the track, the archival material.
Yes.
Yes.
So on this track, we have this old, old footage of Mr. Prinsloo, being one of the apartheid architects, being interviewed, and him saying, you know, the Bantu people really want this. They want to self-govern. They want to, this is when the forced removals were happening, like, they want to be in the urban areas, they want to live by themselves, far from it all. This is it's self-development, you know.
Yes.
What this is, he was talking about apartheid as a thing of self-development.
Yes.
And that the Bantu people, we've spoken to the Bantu people, they've accepted it.
Yes.
They're running with it. Don't worry, like, it's,
and you say, yeah, no.
And I'm saying no.
We are the boss.
Yes.
Monet, thank you so much for a lovely chat and an exceptional album. It really is fantastic. It's always a pleasure. We're going to end the show with Pretoria off Monet's Shumela Venda. And of course, whatever else you do this week, make sure that you keep shining. And of course, keep it Kaya.
Brand new sound. First heard on The World Show with Nikki B.
Mr. Prinsloo, what is the basic philosophy underlying apartheid as a way of life?
Pretoria! Pretoria! Yeah! that the Bata people are accepting the policy of self-development. Bata essentially is in an ever-increasing tempo. I feel confident that the Bata leadership of Africa, rural and urban, will, by the turn of next year, show in a most marked way that they are satisfied that this policy leads to their salvation.
Now stop.
Rhythm and beat.